That's 1971.
So you were talking about in Australia that they nominated you to head the radio physics?
No, they nominated me to head Mount Stromlo Observatory in Australia. But the nomination came from the side of the radio astronomers in Sydney.
I see.
From the radio physics lab.
What did they have to do with it?
Of course, he was a member of the committee that did it. And radio physics, of course, was already a very famous institution by then.
Yes.
Frank Kerr, by the way, came to Harvard the year that I left and was going to come for a doctor's degree and got homesick and went back and now has a much more famous doctor's degree than he would have had otherwise.
You mean in Sydney?
Melbourne, I think.
Oh, yes, you're right.
I think Melbourne. Frank Kerr,
he got a master's, though, at Harvard.
Yes, that's right. Now, in Australia, we had the same thing. For example, John Vito, Mark Price, Ron Eagers were among the students that came out of a group. And John Vito, for example, wrote the thesis on optical astronomy rather than on
astronomy. I
felt very strongly that this separation of the two is a very bad business. And it is nice to see that in some departments this separation is now being minimized, like for example the way you do it at the University of Maryland. For there have been far too much a separation, a complete one, where the radio astronomers sit on one side, optical on another, don't talk to each other, carry their things on separately. And that is particularly a very bad thing when you deal with problems, say, of galactic structure. Now, the Dutch system didn't have that, the Harvard system didn't have that, the Australian didn't, and yours now in Maryland doesn't have it. But there are still quite a few places where people...
Just for my information, what other places in the United States, what other schools do you think try to integrate it to, pretty much?
That's a rather delicate question, too. I'm not sure that I want to speak for publication.
Anything you don't want published,
just tell me.
Yeah.
No, Caltech, for example, leans over in the radio towards the radio and the optical towards the optical. And there isn't always much intercommunication there. In Berkeley, there is a reasonable amount, though, again, not too much, but it's very fortunate that they have there in Weaver a man who was trained optically, and in George Field, a man who's very much interested, of course, in the whole radio astronomical effort. But it is often done that the radio astronomers sort of are trained as physicist electronic engineers, and then learn their astronomy in a couple of easy evenings.
Right. I'd be interested in your opinion as an optical astronomer as to when exactly radio astronomy became acceptable to optical astronomers.
It became acceptable certainly at the time when von der Hulst, became noticed when von der Hulst announced that there might be a 21 centimeter line. That was the first time where many of us began to sort of think maybe we ought to have a look at it. Ought to be something to be watched and not discouraged. In the solar field, I think it became semi-respectable during the World War II.
Early
observations. In particular, everyone watched with great interest the developments both in the late 40s at Harvard and the developments at the Radio Physics Lab in Sydney. And the Sydney ones were described at great length and there were colloquia given off. So this was all very important.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there was still, even in the 50s in Australia, when there is a famous story that on the day that John Bolton came and said he wanted to make a major announcement at a colloquium at Stromlo, and this is something you better not put in print, because Woolley is still alive, and the colloquium was a tea before the colloquium, Woolley came to the tea. And he said, well, John, I'm very sorry, but I'm very busy with the Commodore, but I haven't got the time to come to your colloquium today. And therefore, John Bolton received no encouragement for going on when he found the first radio source by the ocean reflecting tank.
Oh, that's what it was.
That's what he was given the colloquium on. And he wanted very much to hear what the astronomers had to say about it, but they were not available and few.
Well, I think Woolley's dislike for radio astronomy is well known.
It's well known.
Yes. That was what year now?
I forgot what year that
47 was. 47 or something?
Must have been 47, 48 or thereabouts, yes.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That concludes the interview with Bart Bach at the University of Virginia, October 5th, 1971.